Last night at 8:41, the Philadelphia police released surveillance video of suspects accused of a hate crime that took place last Thursday evening. Less than 10 minutes later, good citizen sleuthing on Facebook and Twitter yielded valuable information about the identity of the possible perpetrators. And at 9:55 last night, Philadelphia police officer Joe Murray tweeted, "This is what makes my job easy. Sure, it's up to me to make the arrest, but we're all in this together." Let's learn more about the case and how it came to light with Newsworks social media strategist Amy Quinn. Amy, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
First, what are the facts about the crime that we know?
The facts of the crime that we know are that this gay couple was assaulted and beaten on the street last week in Center City. As for what happened last night on Twitter, let's let fans since 09 tell the story.
So someone alerted me to the video of the suspects and the beating. I had a lot of Twitter followers. I said, you know what, I guarantee somebody knows somebody. It was a big group of people. I started getting the word out, and word kind of spread. And, you know, within the hour, I started getting tips, direct message to me. After that, another picture went out of a party at a restaurant. And, you know, within an hour of that, we were, you know, the case was basically closed. And, you know, we were getting everybody's name. I was able to determine stuff from Facebook, sent that along to the police. So, it was a matter of hours.
His premise was correct. Somebody certainly knew somebody, but is the case closed?
The case is not closed. As yet, there have been no arrests announced. We know that some of the alleged suspects and their attorneys have been in contact with police and were either coming in to give statements or were expected to come in to give statements, but the case is not closed.
Tell us more about Fans Since 09.
Fans Since 09 is a citizen of the Philadelphia internet, a guy who has created a fan base for himself on Twitter out of nothing, out of being a funny guy on the internet who likes to comment on the Fightin's baseball blog. None of us know what his real identity is. He just is a good citizen on the internet.
Now let's talk about the media's role in all this. When does one make the decision to actually publish what is coming through in tweets and Facebook postings?
It's a difficult and fine line. We went to an expert and asked Kelly McBride at the Poynter Institute about that very thing.
Journalists have to be very careful about repeating or amplifying information that is produced in a crowdsourced manner unless there's independent verification. Journalists have different liabilities. They can be sued in a way that citizens can't be sued. They also have a contract with their audience to provide accurate, vetted information.
I suppose much like a doctor taking the Hippocratic Oath, the first obligation is to do no harm.
Absolutely. Seek truth and report it, as our SPJ Code of Ethics tells us. In a sense, as exciting as it was to be a reporter and watch all of this unfold, our job in this is the same as it always has been. Report, verify, and then communicate.
Is this kind of crowdsourced gumshoe work unique? Are there other ready examples that come to mind?
There are a lot of examples of, you know, the internet using its powers for good or evil. We tend to hear about the negative outcomes more. The Boston Marathon bombing suspect witch hunt comes to mind. But there's also the situation with the school bus driver who was being bullied by middle schoolers, and people on Reddit, another social media platform, took it upon themselves not only to pressure the school district into disciplining these children, but raised enough money for her that she was able to retire in comfort. So that had a good outcome. But we also hear about negative outcomes because the crowd can turn ugly on a dime.
Nonetheless, on the face of it, the Philadelphia Police Department was willing to take that risk by just posting the video and asking for help.
Certainly. I mean, if you think about it, it's sort of the modern version of what police have always done. Police are asking the public's help in identifying the suspect and putting out a sketch or putting out a video or, have you seen this wanted person, the sign on the post office wall? The difference now is that instead of someone making an anonymous call to a tip line, you're seeing the crowd come together and engage in this process publicly and collectively. So one tipster's information gets combined with another tipster's information, and suddenly it's larger and more useful than it might have otherwise been.
Amy, thanks for joining us on Newsworks Tonight.
Thank you.
Newsworks social media strategist Amy Quinn.